This is Talk for Food. Your portal into quantum possibility. I'm Adam Abraham. Each week, I'll be your guide on this expedition where we'll explore the near and far reaches of this thing called life on Earth and beyond. Talk for Food is brought to you by Philos Books, publishers of I Am My Body Not, A Freed Man, an Emancipation Proclamation, and Transdermal Magnesium Therapy, and producers of Understanding MMS, Conversations with Jim Humble, the only feature-length documentary on the subject of the miracle mineral supplement on Earth. Hello again, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Talk for Food, which comes to you over webtalkradio.net. I'm Adam Abraham, and it's our time to gear ourselves up, open our minds and our hearts, getting in full alignment, and journey into realms of quantum possibility. This isn't the twilight zone. If anything, it's the light zone. It's the place where we, instead of descending in greater depths of darkness, of concern, of anxiety, we actually shed those senses, those feelings. We shed those tensions. We shed those fears as we begin to see our way out. The light in the tunnel is starting to grow because guess what? We're getting to a point where that tunnel is no more. We're simply not only in the light, that we are it. What we're discovering is that we are light. We have always been light. And if anything, we are light concealed, all right? Our life, our reality, our experience can be defined by the light that we see ourselves as or the darkness that we embrace. And as we begin to put our attention and our focus, our energy into that which brings light, that which accelerates, that which expands what is light, we will find that the joy, the freedom, the wonder of life itself becomes ours. The gifts of life become ours. It's quite the memo to get the idea to be told that you are the creator of your problem. Because when we say we create our experience, we tend to look at life from wherever we look at life from, because some people look at life from the standpoint of the joys and the things that they're grateful for. But we also, and there be certain times in anyone's life, that we look at life in terms of our struggle and our pain and our dis-ease and our disappointment and disillusionment. And the fact is, wherever we look at life from, it becomes oftentimes difficult to accept that that's our creation. And yet, the only way you can literally and in truth change the nature of your life is if you look at it as yours, if you embrace it as your creation, as your baby, even if it is a little monster right now. You know, we have the terrible twos that people may talk about when we come through our childhood, but you don't throw the baby out with the terribleness. You work your way through it and you see and allow that baby to turn into and see what that child turns him or herself into. Well, we are doing that. That process did not stop when we left the twos or the single digits or got into the decades. It goes from the first moment to the last moment. We are always creating our life. Now, we always have the option to see and to judge that life because we're always doing it and we always have the power to look at it in a certain way. And we can certainly look at it with disappointment and we can look at it with shame and we can look at it as someone else's responsibility or we can embrace it as our own. And in that embracing, look at what we have created and what we've experienced as a result of it and then decide to do something or change something about it. But we have that power, always have, always will be. And if we find, even within all the darkness, something to be grateful for, something to actually cherish, we will see, we will begin to have found the needle in the haystack, the one that pricks us and says, okay, time to move into something else, because you are alive. You will always be alive. The question is, what kind of life will you be living? Now, our point here is that if the life is something that we want to change in certain aspects of it, the power is within us. And that is one reason why I've spent a lot of time, and we've had a lot of attention lately on the subject of MMS, the now Master Mineral Supplement, as Jim Humble calls it, that has basically been demonized by so many people, primarily, let's say so many people. People who have used MMS are not demonizing it. They are benefiting from what it does, telling people about it. And what has happened, especially since the latter part of July and beginning of August in 2010, an entire cascade of announcements have gone out, starting with the FDA. But it didn't begin there, because Health Canada had done something last year along those lines. All of the major agencies, the health and government-related agencies, have definitely come out against the use of chlorine dioxide, and I would say the personal discretional use of chlorine dioxide, and yet there are the indiscriminate uses of oxidizers and solvents that the public has actually no voice in. I mean, people are appointed. We can talk about, and we'll talk about, the chlorination of water, because I believe there is something in that process, not just chlorination, but beginning there, that is far, far more profound and far, far more important than anyone has ever noticed, because it's been a part of our life for so long. We have not really looked at what is the real effect of what this is. And the truth is, if you want to know the answer to that, look at life as we see it now. That is the effect. That is the answer that's been sitting right in front of us for so long. So what we want to do today is to share some information about MMS from the workshop that I attended in August of 2010, Jim Humble's MMS workshop. It's a 5-day workshop, and I'll tell you, it goes from right after breakfast to the end of the day. It's a full day's experience, okay, of learning, of questions and answers and exercises. And so in this hour, you're going to get just a little bit of it, but I'm going to share some aspects of the MMS workshop, dealing particularly and primarily with some of the fundamentals. What is it? We're going to talk, Jim Humble is going to talk about the protocols, because they have changed since the documentary that I produced, Understanding MMS. The information in that documentary is still good, is still useful, is still beneficial. But some nuances have been adjusted as Jim has learned more about MMS and looked at ways to make it more effective. So you're going to hear about the protocols, Protocol 1000 and Protocol 2000. And you're also going to hear about an application. We've got right now, with the earthquake in Haiti earlier this year in January, there are people now dying of cholera. Again, needlessly, while the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, are deciding what drugs, what antibiotics might work, chlorine dioxide use, either before the fact or after the fact, will help these people tremendously. And yet, it's not on the radar, or should I say, it's certainly not on the list of things they will admit that they want to use. And I have a problem with that. So at any rate, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have some excerpts from the MMS workshop from the Dominican Republic in the little town of Barona when Talk for Food returns on webtalkradio.net. it's time for me to say something new on my radio show here about photonic water systems and the photonic water transformation technology that was developed by Clayton Nolte. If you don't know it, if you haven't seen it, we have many videos now of people who have experienced the results of transforming, of re-establishing the optimal state of their water that happens through these water transformation devices. We have created photonicwater.com, and it is an informational site, but it is also a brand. We are taking steps now to make it grow and to expand it into a product not only that is manufactured, but also delivers the transformational impact that we have now seen over the last year and a half. But we will go from where we are now to even more permutations of it. I'm just letting you know right now, go to photonicwater.com. We are building a brand at this point, so I'm going to be referring to Photonic Water, photonicwater.com. And this is part of the transition, part of the growth, not only of a product, but also of a way of addressing something that is so critical. It is more critical than any medicine or anything else. Water is what makes life as we know it happen. And if the water is not healthy, then life as we know it is also, guess what, not healthy. So creating healthy water, which is what this technology does, has a major impact on our ability to be healthy and to sustain it. So visit photonicwater.com. Learn more about what's really inside you in addition to a wonderful spirit. So this segment of Talk for Food commences on webtalkradio.net with Adam Abraham. And let us begin by talking about MMS, the Master Mineral Supplement, as Jim Humble is now calling it, the method and way to produce chlorine dioxide is what it is. It's a chemical that allows you to generate chlorine dioxide, which, while it begins with that word chlorine, and it is even considered a bleach, and in fact, some people who are now attacking the idea of its use just focus on that word, bleach, 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 it's a bleach, it's a bleach. And you hear this over and over and over again as though something changes about the saying that. And yet they don't acknowledge that by their own definition, chlorine is a bleach too, but it's a hell of a lot more dangerous, and it is in use daily by not thousands, not millions, not even tens of millions, but hundreds of millions of people are getting chlorinated every day. And yet they're calling chlorine dioxide an industrial strength bleach, which by comparison, people who are using chlorine dioxide are reporting they are experiencing some amazing improvements in their health. But the detractors keep saying, it's a bleach, it's a bleach. So let's talk about which bleach, okay? The word bleach doesn't mean anything except that they're trying to get you just taken aback at the use of it. So at any rate, let's start off by talking about or having Jim talk about Protocol 1000. This is what it is, is how it's used.
All right. What I want to talk about first is protocols, because protocols are the most important thing now that we have the MMS. You can't just, well, and a lot of people just stroll over and grab a bottle and start taking it, and sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. It often works a little bit or some, but if you use the right protocol, you can really make it work. You don't need any of the other stuff if you use the right protocol and you use it correctly. And so I want you by the time you leave here, I want you to know the correct protocol for everything. And I want you to be able to think about it. You can't just say, oh, that's protocol number 10, and that means two drops.
You're listening to Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net with Adam Abraham. And you are also, in this case, this is a workshop from the MMS seminar, or MMS Fundamentals, given by Jim Humble in the Dominican Republic. This is the first recorded one, and this is part of the MMS Workshop DVD, which is now an 8-disc set. So let us continue.
Two drops tomorrow or whatever. Protocol number 10 might be two drops, but it could be two and a half or one and a half or something. If the guy is especially sick and he's a real frail guy, maybe a half of a drop. Or maybe if he's a great big guy, so big around, maybe it's five drops. You got to be able to think about these protocols and decide how to use them. You can't just take them and use them. You gotta be able to do a little bit of thinking.
Here, Jim introduces Protocol 1000.
It's three drops an hour. Now that's the real basic thing that you almost can never go wrong by using three drops an hour, 8 hours a day. It's almost impossible to go wrong. So if you can't think of it and you can't remember what it was or have any idea what it is, just do the three drops an hour. And say you're going to read up on it tonight and figure out more. But if you're stuck, I don't care what it is, you start off with three drops an hour. Now, anytime that you get any kind of nausea, you take less than three drops an hour. Three drops an hour might make one reason or another, might make at one time or another, might make anybody nauseous or sick. So you know if you're getting nauseous, you're taking too much. It's going too fast. I have a story about myself, so you got an idea. When I went in, I got the H1N1 flu in Mexico when it was going around there in Mexico, and I did the thing that I'm telling you not to do. I grabbed a bottle and started taking three or four drops an hour, every hour. I think I was taking six drops an hour, because I really wanted to handle that flu. Well, believe me, that six drops an hour was way too much for that particular flu, and not most any flu it is. So what happened was I got worse and worse, and I got sicker and sicker, and I was really, really sick. And I said, okay, I'm going to the hospital and see what the hell is wrong. So I went to the emergency room or ward in the hospital, and the first thing they did was put me in a wheelchair and take me into the x-ray room, and they x-rayed my chest. Well, I didn't know to x-ray the chest because I didn't feel anything wrong with my chest. But the H1N1, the pig flu, goes right to the pig's lungs, and it goes right to the people's lungs too. And so they showed me the x-ray, and I looked at it, and the phlegm or the mucus was covered, everything in the lungs. There was only a hole about that big. It was getting through to where I was really getting much oxygen. And I felt that I was sort of weak, but wasn't really breathing all that bad. But of course, the minute I realized what was happening, see, what you do when you, any flu, if you take too much MMS, you kill the mucus that's in there. It goes in and kills it. When it kills it, it comes loose from the lungs. It's stuck on the lungs. And then when you kill it, it comes loose from the lungs, from where it's at, but it can flood the lungs. It can all come loose, or a whole lot of it come loose and just flood all through your lungs, and you can drown in your own mucus just by taking too much MMS. And that isn't likely to happen in most diseases, but that's one that it could, especially the H1N1. So I started instantly when I saw what was happening in my lungs, I cut back. I quit taking it altogether for a couple of hours, and then I cut back to one drop an hour while I was in the hospital. And my secretary stayed with me, and she sat right in the bed next to me, and she gave me a sweet, she gave me the drink every hour, one drop. And I was out of there in 3 days. If you're feeling worse, always reduce the amount of MMS you're taking. Any and all protocols are the same way. If you start feeling worse, you've got to reduce. Now, there's a lot of people who tell me, oh, I didn't mind, I can take a little sickness, it don't bother me, I just want to get well fast. But that ain't the way it works. If it makes you sick, you ain't getting well. I mean, it should be obvious. So it's supposed to make you feel better, if anything. It may not make you feel better right away, but if it's making you sick right away, it's going the wrong direction. You don't want to say, oh, I can tough it out. The extra sickness, the diarrhea, extra nausea, or whatever it is, uses up your energy, and it uses it up fast. And the main energy it uses up is your healing energy. So if it starts making you feel worse, you're going the wrong direction. You gotta take less. And if you really feel worse, then you gotta quit until you feel back normal again. And then you start retaking it, but when you start taking it again, you take less. You don't. More is not necessary, better. The main protocol then, the most efficient, the most important protocol, is protocol 1000, and it is basically three drops an hour. An old person, you would start out at one drop an hour. A person that's pretty weak and having a little bit of trouble, you would start out at one drop an hour. A person that's really sick and having a lot of trouble, you'd start at one half drop an hour. And everybody says, well, how do you drink a half a drop? Well, you can mix one drop and then dump half of it out before you drink it. That would be one way. But, of course, we're going to be mixing 8 doses a day, so we mix them all at one time and then we drink them each hour, yeah.
Is one drop one-to-one?
The questioner is asking, is a one-to-one drop ratio used to activate it? MMS requires the addition of a activator, typically citric acid, and it's done in a ratio of drops. Initially, it was 5 drops of the activator for every drop of MMS. And so the questioner was asking, is it a one-to-one ratio now?
One-to-one. And if you don't have the 50% citric acid, then you would use 5-to-1. With the 10% citric acid. So it depends on which citric acid you use. It's easiest to work with the 50% citric acid, and most people nowadays are doing that, although not everybody's doing it yet. And you can use lemon juice, same thing, it's 5-to-1 with lemon juice. And also with vinegar, it's 5-to-1.
Excuse me, Jim, when you say vinegar, you mean distilled white vinegar?
It don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Any vinegar, as long as it, and even imitation vinegar works. A lot of people won't be able to start out at 3 drops an hour. If they're in pretty good shape and they don't look too bad, then you can start them out at 3 drops. If they get a little sick, then you back off. But if they don't get sick, you keep right on going. So that is basically the thing, the one protocol you can almost use for any and everything. And it may not do the best, but at least you won't be wrong. For the most part, you won't be wrong with that protocol.
We are so used to taking chemicals, medications that add something, that do something. I mean, even the process of chlorination, it adds new chemistry. And yet we take those showers every day, we take those baths every day, and are subjected to the effects of that chemistry. And yet we are not that frequently, we're not that experienced in doing something to take away something, to take away the effects of something. And chlorine dioxide appears to be reducing something, but because of our habits, we tend to also be very, very sensitive to the question of children and the question of prenatal care relative to MMS. And so that question was raised, and Jim has the following response.
All right, protocols for children. You want to use all the same protocols on children all the way down to just born. But you want to use 1 drop for each 25 pounds of body weight. Now for a baby that's just born, you're going to use about half a drop per hour. But if they're sick, they come out with some disease or something, you need to do it. And so you could have them getting 1 half drop an hour, and that would help them a whole lot. The same way with children that are like 25 pounds or something like that, you're using 1 drop for each 25 pounds of body weight per hour.
Yeah, I'm not breaking them.
Same as an adult. Same as an adult.
Safe for pregnant women.
Yeah, safe for pregnant women, safe for babies, safe for all of that, all of those. Don't go to more than 3 drops an hour. No, you have to be a little, you have to think, remember? You got to think on these things. If the kid is a heavyweight, you can give him 3 drops an hour, and if they're kind of a lightweight, you could go to 2 drops an hour, 2.5 if you want to get really technical. Do your best, but think. Children can usually take more MMS than a grown person for with body weight. They usually have, they don't have a bunch of poisons in their body yet. So they're not in nearly as bad a shape as grown people, so they can take more without getting sick.
We're coming up to a break time with the MMS workshop from Verona in the Dominican Republic with Jim Humble. When we come back, Jim will talk more about Protocol 2000. He'll also talk about making water potable, which is of specific and very critical interest right now in, well, anywhere where cholera is breaking out. But as it turns out, as this is being recorded, it's a very real concern right today. We'll be right back when Talk of Food returns on WebTalkRadio.net.
American adventurer Jim Humble discovered how a simple chemical compound and powerful oxidizer, chlorine dioxide, could be effectively used to reduce toxicity within the human body. The buzz on Jim's discovery, MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement, is spreading, but not the understanding. Until now. Understanding MMS, Conversations with Jim Humble, is a new DVD available only at understanding-mms.com. The Understanding MMS DVD will show how you can be part of your own solution to toxicity. Here's the documentary producer.
This is Adam Abraham inviting you to get informed and help others to be informed of this amazing way to reduce the body's load of toxins, harmful microorganisms, and pathogens from the waters inside our body.
Get your understanding today for only $29.95 at understanding-mms.com. That's understanding-mms.com. Use passcode RBN to receive 10% off.
Our health really depends on it.
We come in all shapes and sizes, but for all our apparent differences, we share an important oneness.
I am my body,
not.
Now your child can discover the oneness behind human diversity with I Am My Body, Not, from Philos Books. This progressive book, written by Adam Abraham, helps parents and teachers introduce some of the most basic human concepts and questions. Celebrate the body and the spirit with I Am My Body, Not. Order now, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
I Am My Body, Not is available at Philos.com. That's PHAELOS.com. Order yours today.
Hi, this is Mary Meadows, and you're listening to Talk for Food on WebTalkRadio.net.
Talk for Food returns, our second half on WebTalkRadio.net with Adam Abraham, and you are listening to, or have been listening to, the audio of the MMS workshop given and presented by Jim Humble in the Dominican Republic. I shot the entire five-day workshop on DVD or on video, and have spent a good month and a half editing it and bringing it that, I don't know if it's say 40 hours, but certainly a good 30 hours worth of footage, down to probably about 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours worth of actual, no, it's probably 8 hours of information. You're getting just a smidge of it, okay? But you get a sense of what's covered, you get a feel for Jim Humble, and you can determine where truth is for you, all right? And I will say too that all of these opinions are Jim's opinion, but I am in full concurrence that MMS, chlorine dioxide, is something that is worth consideration on a much larger scale, that is counter to the impression that is being presented right now. But I have to be grateful for the fact that the impression is being made, because that can be changed. Negative impressions can be changed. There's no problem with that. It's nice that it's now out there, and let's work on getting people some clear information. Here's protocol 2000.
Now, protocol number two thousand is 10 hours a day instead of, and that's for cancer, mainly for cancer or for any life-threatening disease where the guy has maybe 2 weeks to live, or he has a week to live, or whatever, in real bad shape, and it's a life-threatening disease, then you go to protocol number two. Now, protocol number two, or I like to call it 2000, of course. 2000 is as many drops as you can stand without making you feel worse, as many drops each hour as you can take. And when I talk about drops, of course, I'm always talking about activated drops. You activate it with the MMS. So I'm always telling you about drops that are activated. I don't have to say it every time, because you should know it. So when we're talking about protocol 2000, and as many drops as a person can take, the guy with the cancer, as many drops as they can take without getting sick. Maybe if they feel a little bit bad. That ain't too bad. But the minute they start feeling nauseous, that's too far. You don't want them to feel nauseous. So a lot of people tell me about that. In fact, I've experienced that myself. You take it and you get so tired, you just don't want to move a muscle. And it's really, really hard just to get up and go to the bathroom because you're too tired. Well, that's a little too tired. You want to back off a little bit on that too. But
I didn't back off. I got that stubborn attitude.
So okay.
I kept it up, and now I have no reaction at all to the same dose.
Well, and that in case
you're going to increase it, like you've got number two here, as many as you can stand, I should increase it today.
Yeah, you can increase it. If you have no reaction at all, then you're to the point where you can increase it. And so you go up by one drop, of course, one drop an hour, and then if there's no reaction to that, you can go up again. But in cancer, you got to use MMS2, and that's the calcium hypochlorite, and you want to use that.
Is that part of 2000?
That's part of 2000. So
you use MMS1, and then in addition you add that.
That's right. You use both of them. On 2000, on a cancer protocol, you use MMS1 and MMS2. As much MMS1 as you can take without getting sick, and at least one capsule, size zero, one capsule every other hour. So that would be at least four capsules during the day. And you could go ahead and add the fifth capsule if you think it might be okay.
Just to explain a bit more about MMS2, that's something also that is new to this whole idea of using natural chemistry to therapeutic effect, or should I say using it intelligently. The calcium hypochlorite, which is in the capsule that Jim is suggesting that's being taken, is basically going to be ingested and taken in, but when it releases, the calcium hypochlorite will mix with the chemistry of the body, but it will produce hypochlorous acid. Hypochlorous acid is part of the body's natural immune system and its natural defense system. So therefore, if your immune system is down, likely your hypochlorous acid production is also down, or the ability to produce it is down. And so the logic here simply is to build it back up, because hypochlorous acid is one of the natural chemical compounds that the body produces on its own when its immune system is healthy. I mean, that's the logic.
The way you get started on the MMS2, you're doing the MMS1, you're starting on the cancer protocol and all that, and then you're up to two or three drops an hour. And now you say, okay, it's time to add in the MMS2. And so you get your calcium hypochlorite and fill your capsules, size zero capsules, all the way up, put the lid on them and all that. Now, you start off with a quarter of a capsule. You don't start off with a full capsule. And you start off with a quarter of a capsule. You take that quarter, and if it don't make you sick, then you in 2 hours, two more hours, you can take another quarter of a capsule. Now this, you know, all of these things are pretty much what are pretty much logical. It's pretty much you can think it out. If you don't remember it, you can think it out. You start low and go high, right? That's always. You start low and go high. So you start out with a quarter of a capsule, and if you, the second hour it still don't make you sick, don't make you worse, then you add in a half a capsule instead of a quarter of a capsule, and you take a half a capsule a couple of times. And if that's, if your day is over with it then, you can just wait until the next day. But remember, 2,000 is 10 hours a day, not 8 hours. 1,000 is 8 hours. The 2,000 protocol is 10 hours, because that's, you're talking about cancer, and that's an extra tough thing. And if you have a life-threatening disease, you've got to get on a 2,000, and you're taking as much as MMS-1, and you're taking MMS-2, and you're ramping up to one capsule full every 2 hours with MMS-2. And when you're ramped up to there, you don't necessarily go any further than that generally. And so, but it's always all logical, right? I want to express that, because a lot of people just go out there and say, well, I've got to do this, and they don't care. Is they know that 2,000 is what they have in their head, and that's all they do. They don't use logic on you. You gotta use logic. You gotta look at the person. Can he take three drops an hour, or can he take a half a drop, or a quarter of a drop, or something like that? If the guy's really bad and everything, and he's really sick, and he's really laying there in bed, and it's really tough on him, you ain't going to give them a half a capsule. You're going to give them a quarter or an eighth. I've given people an eighth, and that's true of drops too. You don't give them too much if the guy doesn't look like he can handle it. So anyhow, that's MMS 1000 and MMS 2000. Any questions? Yes.
I know that whenever you kill off so many bad cells, or fungus, or viral, or whatever it is, pathogen that you're killing inside there, that it always has to come out. It's flushed with liquids and waters and so forth. My question is, does it ever affect the kidneys in any negative way?
Not generally, no. It can if you overload it again. In other words, if you take too much, if you overload a guy, usually you better start worrying about his kidneys. If he's starting to feel nauseous, if he's starting to feel sicker, or if he's getting diarrhea or something like that, you better start worrying about his kidneys.
So just how the body reacts to what you're doing with
it. That's right. Okay. Most people don't want to wait 8 hours before they eat something. So you should eat something at least a half hour to an hour. An hour, of course, would be best, but you can get by with half hour eating it before you start on the protocol. And you know, and halfway through or so, you can eat. Halfway in between 1 hour and the next hour, you can eat some, especially on the intermediate hour when you aren't taking a capsule. You're taking a capsule every other hour all day long, so you eat a little bit on the other half hour in between. So you can eat pretty much anything. You wouldn't want to take lots of vitamin C and things along.
What about antioxidants?
Well, you know, natural antioxidants don't seem to bother it. It don't seem to be a problem.
Like green tea or something like that would hinder it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to hinder it. What does hinder it is if you took antioxidants in tablet form.
Okay.
Because they're very
vitamin E, and vitamin E you should avoid also?
I would avoid it during, yes. A lot of people like to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. You take one at 6 and you're done at 1 o'clock. You've got 8 hours in by 1 o'clock. Or you could, but if you take it later, you just go 8 hours or wherever you start from. But you want to go on a continuous. You don't want to go 2 hours now and 2 hours later and 2 hours after dinner. It don't work that way. You've got it. You want a continuous 8 hours, whatever it is.
You're listening to Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net with Adam Abraham. Seemed like I forgot what I was listening to or what you were listening to, but we are, and you have been listening to Jim Humble present on the MMS workshop that we shot in the Dominican Republic in August of 2010, and just some very pertinent basic information on MMS and some of the nature of what it is, so you can get a feel for yourself, because it just has been that the information out there, at least the official information, has been more so disinformation, unfortunately. But again, let's be grateful for it. It's out there. We can work with that. As I said before, we have covered only a small part of what was a five-day seminar, and needless to say, there was a lot more conversation given, a lot more knowledge and presentations given about protocols that happened throughout the time. But fundamental to chlorine dioxide and its use is as a water treatment product. That is what it is, that is what it is known to be, and that is what it has scientifically been proven, shown in many, many studies. And yet, ignoring the fact that the human body is made up at one point totally water, believe it or not, when you're in the womb, the body is virtually 100% water, to the extent that we can be not physical, we are water. We are water. And yet, the condition of water in the body and throughout life is important, and yet the FDA and all of the agencies that are claiming such outrage over the use of MMS are basically ignoring the fact that the human body is made up primarily of water. Throughout its existence, it is primarily water. And yet they have approved the practice of putting chlorine and other chemicals such as fluoride and many, many more in water for human consumption, for children's consumption, for prenatal consumption, for anyone, a woman that is pregnant and takes a bath or takes a shower is going to be chlorinated every time she does it. That approach is okay, and yet they're calling chlorine dioxide, which reduces the effects of chemicals, reduces the effects of microorganisms, the presence of microorganisms. It is confirmed to do it. Chlorine dioxide is considered to be a dangerous bleach, as they call it, an industrial bleach. And yet, the application that Jim has come up with is for very, very small amounts. This is not industrial strength. If you put an eyedropper full of chlorine dioxide, or in fact MMS, into something and activate it into some water, you don't have an industrial strength application. You have a very small amount. And so intelligence says, if this safely does this and produces no new chemicals in the process, perhaps, well, you say perhaps, this is not a logical decision. The question is, what are the results of doing it? And the results of it happening, of people using chlorine dioxide in very, very small, minute amounts, has been impressive, to say the least. The fact that our society, our officials are not impressed, tells us something about them more so than about nature, because chlorine dioxide is a product of nature. Here is another place where the production of water, here's an application of it outside of water, as people are dying of cholera in Haiti today. Here is something, some food for your thought in terms of how chlorine dioxide can be used in this application.
I would recommend you, if the water is pretty bad, you want to put 3 or 4 drops of activated MMS. You want to activate it first. If you are going to, if you're willing to wait overnight, you can put it into the water without, before it's, without activating it, because the water will activate it. But you want to pump 3 or 4 drops per gallon. Yes. But if it's just standard water and ain't too bad, 1 drop per gallon is okay. Activate it. But if you absolutely want to make sure that you're killing everything in that water, I'd put 2 or 3, 4 drops in there, and that way you're absolutely sure. And actually, you won't hurt the taste of the water very much if you just put in, like, say, 3 drops. It isn't going to hurt the taste much. In fact, 1 drop might even help the taste some. So, yeah, anywhere you're at, if you feel that the water might be a little bad, it would be better to treat it in the gallon jug or in a glass than it would be to treat it in your body after you're sick. You don't have to activate it if you're going to wait overnight. The water itself will activate it. Now, let me explain that to you so you got it. You have... Here, we got something here. You have sodium chloride is what you have in your MMS. This is MMS right here, MMS. And it has sodium and chloride. So what happens is when you add the citric acid to it, this sodium chloride has a pH. Does everybody understand? I suppose you don't. Everybody don't. pH is acid alkaline.
Yes.
If something is water, regular old water you're going to drink is 7. That's neutral. 7 is neutral. Now, as you go down, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, down, you get more and more acid. One is really, really strong acid. And then as you go up, you get more and more alkaline. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 is MMS. 14 is as high as you go. But 13 is almost as high as you go. 13 is very high. So you got a pH of 13. Now along comes your citric acid, and it has a pH of about 3, pH 3, citric acid. So when you put the citric acid on here, you bring the pH down to about 4.8 is what you bring it down to. But the numbers isn't all that important. Just remember that when you bring the pH of MMS down, or the sodium chloride, when you bring the pH down, it sort of kills this outer electron, which is electron that's holding it together. And so as it kills that outer electron, they come apart, and you have ClO2, and that is chlorine dioxide. It comes apart into ClO2, and see, actually, sodium chloride is sodium, which is Na, NaClO2. And all you want to do is just get rid of the Na, and then you have chlorine dioxide. And so that's what, when you bring the pH down, that's what happened. It just starts coming apart all by itself. And so there is no other function other than it slowly deteriorates into ClO2, which is chlorine dioxide. Now, as it deteriorates into ClO2, then the ClO2 lasts for about an hour, and then it deteriorates into the Cl, and the O2, which is oxygen, two oxygens comes off of there, so it deteriorates into the various different particles too. But you don't worry about that. What's the important point is that it when you bring the pH down, when you add the acid to it, that's when you get CLO2, which is chlorine dioxide.
Yeah.
So what happens when it sets overnight is simple, is that when you add a drop or two of MMS to water, you bring the pH down. Water's pH is 7. And so you're going to bring the pH, is going to come down to 7 instantly. Bam, it's down there of the MMS that you put in there. So the pH is now 7 because that's what's in the glass, and it slowly comes apart. So it comes apart overnight into chlorine dioxide. And so by the time morning has reached, 12 hours or so, you have about as much chlorine dioxide in solution as you would have if you put acid on it. So that's the reason why you can let it set overnight. It actually sort of activates itself because it releases the chlorine dioxide, goes out and kills all the bugs that's in the water, and leaves you nice clean water. You can activate it by bringing it down to just 7, but if you add the acid to it, you bring it down to 4.8, and it does, instead of taking overnight, it takes 3 minutes, right? Or 30 seconds or whatever. And so that's the difference. And that's the reason why, of course, if you're going to purify your well water or something, you can pour 2 or 3 gallons, 2 or 3 cups of MMS in there, and let the well set overnight. By in the morning, and everything in that well is purified, and so you don't have to activate it in order to get that to happen. But if you want it to happen right away, you have some water sitting there and you want to drink it, you better activate it first. Otherwise, it may take hours to activate. So you got to make sure that you put full-strength acid, full-strength MMS together in order to get it activated right away.
So there you have it. Some new, more updated information about MMS from Jim Humble himself as part of the workshop that was done in the Dominican Republic. That 5-day experience has been developed into an 8-disc set of DVDs. It's on video. Could it be that we have been looking for our cures in all the wrong ways? Could it be that we have gotten farther and farther away from nature when, in fact, the ability and what would bring about success was getting closer to it? The chlorine dioxide molecule is not sitting looking at pathogens and checking IDs and looking for their credentials to decide whether they're going to destroy them or not. Quite simply, chlorine dioxide has a very specific quality to it. It has a very specific electrical value to it. And when it comes in contact with other molecules, other compounds, they respond according to what theirs is in comparison to what exists within chlorine dioxide. It seems as though chlorine dioxide is reducing the amount of inorganic materials in the body. This is not something that we're taking to be healthy, but certainly is something we're taking that is helping our health. At any rate, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions for me, you can email me at adam@talkforfood.com. If you're interested in this 8-DVD set, you can visit understanding-mms.com. I'm sure as I have more information, there may be other places where you can get it. In the meantime, be yourself, be well, be in love, be open to new and better possibilities. Unless we believe, we can never know. You can't know something that you didn't have an openness of a belief in the first place. And until next week, this is Adam Abraham. Thank you for being here and a part of this change in history that we're doing right now as we change ourselves. I'll see you next week when Talk for Food returns here on webtalkradio.net.
Talk for Food is a Phylos MediaWorks production.